Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Yeah. Let's go.
When it awakens, time to hit the light. Kick off your weekend with the Thursday night. Just clap your hands and stomp your feet and sing it. We're about to rumble, here's the game to see. Crank up the volume, scream along with me. Get in your steps, hair up your team and sing it.
I'm Dan Aguirre, back once more for the Bears Bar Room. It is September the 3rd. It's 1 a.m. approximately here, Eastern Time. And we're 2 days away from the big opener at Soldier Field. Draft Dr. Phil's going to be attending with Aldo. Greg Braggs, of course, is going to be there. He must be sucking somebody's dick to always be at these games. But it's envy, Greg. It's envy. You need to respond to my JFK stuff, too, by the way, pal. But anyway, Bears-Packers. I've had a lifetime of frustration and agony from the Bears-Packers rivalry, as most of us have. I would think that you can share in said frustration. There have been so many moments. How can you narrow them down to five? But that's been my task here. Now, first off, let me preface this by saying, if you listen to the Bears 1985 podcast I did about why didn't they become a dynasty, I tried to be as factual as I could while also sprinkling in some opinions like, oh, you got to keep Wilbur. You got to keep Jim McMahon. You got to keep Willie Gault. What the fuck is, you know, going on here? Don't break the team up. This right here is the antithesis of that podcast. It is completely subjective. I mean, it's going to be my personal top five, which, again, it's going to be, Shane, off the top of my head or right out of my ass, however you want to describe it. If I'd have known about this ahead of time, maybe I would have watched these games again to have more statistics or something, you know, in front of me. But I'm just going to go. Just going to go because normally I work both jobs. And I don't have a lot of free time, but in this case, I'm done with radio tonight. Technically, I don't have to go 911, and thus I have free time before I go home and just clean and masturbate or whatever the fuck I'm going to do. So here we go. We'll talk about the top five defeats as I see them. The ones that hurt me the most. The ones that felt like a punch to my fucking scrotum. You get the point. No more metaphors. Bears, Packers. The early part of my life, the Bears always won. I mean, there were a couple of disappointments, like the Don Majkowski game in 89, where he clearly was past the line of scrimmage, and everybody knows it.
Here it comes. And it's 14-13 after a reversal of an official's call that had a direct bearing on this game.
But it was up in, was that game in Milwaukee back when that's when the Packers did a couple games in Milwaukee for some reason at County Stadium. I think that one was at County's. Anyway, what fucking difference does it make? The Bears should have won that game, but that was the year in 89 when the Bears started 4-0 and finished 6-10 and everything else went wrong. So why not that go wrong too? But the point is Ditka always seemed to beat. Whether it's Lindy Infante, before that Bart Starr, or of course the asshole Forrest Gregg. But things would turn around. I mean, quite honestly, we would just get our asses kicked for a quarter century, as you know, when they hired Mike Holmgren away from San Francisco. So you went from Mike Holmgren to Mike Sherman to Mike McCarthy. And who the fuck is the coach now? I don't even think I know his name. I know Rodgers is apparently going to argue with him because he's a dick and a drama queen and wants to audible all the time. But okay, we're talking history, though. So the Bears during this time, of course, with Ditka being fired after the 92 season, they're going to go with Dave Wannstedt from 93 through 98. Dick Geron after the circus that was Dave McGinnis. Fuck you, Dave McGinnis. I didn't like you anyway. I guess the players liked you. But he's going to be the coach, and then they announce he's the coach, and then he turns it down for some reason. I never understood that. Like, oh, I'm going to be the coach. I should be excited. It's the Chicago Bears, a place I worked anyway, and now I'm offended because they said I had the gig. But
Brad Palmer has that story.
The Bears did all they could to try to put a favorable spin on the debacle. Dave McGinnis, like Michael McCaskey, wouldn't go into specifics on why he withdrew his name from consideration. But McCaskey said it wasn't about money and suggested McGinnis just got cold feet.
I don't understand it fully, and you'd have to ask him. I think he considered it a question of whether this was the right time and the right fit.
Obviously, we couldn't reach an agreement. I mean, it started, there was an announcement made, obviously, before we had even agreed to any terms, and then, it went downhill from there.
McCaskey refused to take responsibility for the premature announcement, inferring that it was the fault of someone else in the organization, but all the evidence points back to him. I asked him to what degree he felt that mistake led to a breakdown in the negotiations.
It sure didn't help that there was a premature announcement.
This has not been a confrontational type deal. I mean, it's been very amiable, and this stuff happens in this business. I mean,
it doesn't happen like this. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, I guess you're never announced before you're offered the job. I mean, I understand that, Brad.
When Dave McGinnis wakes up tomorrow morning, maybe all this will seem like a bad dream. But it's going to be a while before the Bears can make the nightmare disappear. This once proud franchise has become the laughingstock, not only of the city, but the National Football League. From Hallis Hall, Brad Palmer, ABC 7 News.
Eventually, that would lead to Mike McCaskey getting shown the door, which you could say that's a good thing, but they did win Super Bowl 20 under Mike McCaskey. Okay, so Dick Geron became the coach in 99, and he was there until 03, then Lovey's there 4-12. 2004-2012, of course, you remember Mark Trestman, 13-14, and then the horrendous John Fox era, 15-16-17, and now we're going into year two of Coach Nagy. So there are a lot of other games I should acknowledge. There are a lot of games I could have chosen from because the Packers have been beating us so long now. But I was thinking opening day and 2015 was a big disappointment. The Bears should have won that game. It was in Chicago. Every other time that we play on opening day, it's always in Green Bay. And if you all noticed that finally, this is a time that the Bears finally get them in primetime in Chicago. Because think about this. The Bears play them in primetime in Chicago, that New Year's Eve game with Rex in 2006 and 2010 when the Bears won on Monday Night Football in Week 3. Devin Hester had his first return in that game for a touchdown since 2007. Because remember, 8 and 9, he didn't get any. But those are the only ones. But during that time period, Jay Cutler's first game was in 09, opening night. And it's the last time we wore white on white, by the way. I wish that the Bears would do that more, especially in the 100th season. It just feels right. It looks like an old Walter Payton highlight, white on white with some black high tops and boom, running the ball. But that was the only time the Cutler wore the white on white. It's the last time we did, opening night in 09. But the Bears played in primetime up there in 2009, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, and yes, 2018. Not fair. In opening days, we've gone up there in 1997. And okay, that's enough whining about the schedule. You get the point is normally we play them in primetime. This year we get them in Chicago, which is it's awesome, finally. In week 15, they'll probably flex it to make sure they still get their primetime game against the Bears. But during this span, there have been enormous games. There have been an enormous amount of games that were disappointments, such as, like I said, the opening day when in 15. Oh my God, the Mark Trestman game in 2014 when they were down like 40 points before halftime. That's when you knew Trestman was done. I mean, if there was ever any doubt, that was like where it cemented this motherfucker is gone. And they probably should have fired him just the next day. Wani's last game in 98, the Bears had a 10-point lead perhaps at the half, and then he blew it, and then that was his last game. There's the game in 2010, week 17, where the Bears, all they have to do is beat Green Bay, and they eliminate the Packers. But a bit to Lovey's credit, he did try, and I think we lost 10-3. And then the Packers would beat Atlanta in the second round. I don't remember who they beat in the first round, but they beat Atlanta and knocked the Falcons out. And I think the Falcons were the number one seed that year, and the Bears were number two. We beat the Seahawks, and then by virtue of the Falcons being eliminated, the Packers came to Chicago for the title game, which we will talk about that in a second. How can you not have that one on your list? Oh, what's some others? A 2003, an overlooked game. The Bears and Dick Geron's last season were trying to climb back into it. They started, I think, 1-4, 1-5, won a stretch of games. And if they could have just beaten Green Bay and they had a shot, I think they would have gotten back to 5-5 off the top of my head, Shane, and had a chance for it. And they were in the game, and Cordell got intercepted at the end, Cordell Stewart, and that basically ended the Dick Geron era and the rest of that season. Because then we started Rex, and Rex actually did well. If you recall, he beat Washington. He beat Minnesota in his first start because Tillman took the ball away from Randy Moss. The next week, he threw his first touchdown pass to Marty Booker, beating Champ Bailey, no less. And we never beat Washington. That's another podcast. God damn it, the Redskins always beat us. But Rex beat him in his second start. Some good things there. Other disappointing games. The Ditka's last game against the Packers really sucked. That's the classic game with the NFL film sound bites with Singletary. Hey, we're going to be here all day, baby. You've seen that, right? You know, and hey, it's a rookie quarterback. Somebody knock him out. Of course, Favre wasn't technically a rookie, but he played 91 in Atlanta. He only saw a game in one action in one game, though, against the Redskins with the Falcons. He threw a pick. I think it was like week 12. I actually have that game, but again, there's just so many games we could reference that are disappointing. So many blowouts. That's another one off the... Oh, God. In 2011, when Hester had that return and then they threw a flag, there was just no penalty and they took... Oh, God damn it. Or the 2012 in week two, Jamarcus Webb being pushed by Jay Cutler. Which, again, was just blown completely out of proportion. 1995. Got him already at 10 minutes. I should wrap up this excursion of other games. 1995, though, week two, that's where the guy jumped out of the stands and caught the football.
I'll tell you, we've seen some great plays on the field tonight, but how you're going to see something off the field that's a classic here.
Follow the ball as it goes up the tunnel from the right side of your screen. Watch this fella jump out of the stands into the tunnel. He appears to be at least 10 feet off the ground, if not more.
This is a don't try this.
No, don't try this. Watch this. There he goes, off into space. He catches the ball, goes all the way down the tunnel. And, folks, the guy's all right. He's back in his seat.
He just signed a 3-year deal with the Bears.
That game was particularly disappointing because the Bears were 1-0. They trailed. Oh, God. And Robert Brooks caught a 99-yard touchdown from Brett Favre. Just like only the Bears would have the fucking Packers backed up at the half-yard line, and that would result in a touchdown, Favre to Robert Brooks. But, of course, they would come all the way back, have a chance to win the game, and Reggie White comes clean, hits Kramer from the back, fumble, Packers recover. We lose 27-24. Later that season, with basically everything on the line at Lambeau, we're in a shootout. It's 35-28. They have like four chances from the goal line. Incomplete. And we lose 35-28. Both of those losses in 1995 were enormous. That team was so fun to watch. Kramer had such a good year. 29 touchdown passes and like 6 or 7 picks. But the defense was giving up like 30 points. It's just so unfortunate. They had Conway and Graham, and Rashawn Salaam was doing well that year. And man, that team was fun and should have done something. And that's another podcast. If we really, I'm gonna bring this up now. Fuck it. If you don't remember this is absolutely true. 1995, week 17, Bears, Eagles, Falcons, 49ers. You say, okay, Dan, what's the fucking point? Because just letting you know, this is what had to happen. the Bears had to beat the Eagles at Soldier Field, which they did. And they had to have the 49ers beat Atlanta. And it just felt like a layup because the 49ers had won like 17 straight from the Falcons. No exaggeration. They had been kicking their ass for a decade. The 49ers are defending Super Bowl 29 champions. And the Falcons starting quarterback was Jeff George, who had some great statistics that year. And I know everyone shits on Jeff George and compares him to Jay Cutler, but you look at Jeff George's stats of the Falcons or even the 99 Vikings, and look at what he did in that playoff game against the Rams, the greatest show on turf in 99. I mean, he threw for over 400 yards. Jeff George could ball. It's just whatever, man. Everybody wants to hate Cutler and Jeff George, so we better hate him. But that day, Jeff George got knocked out. So it comes down to
backup quarterback Bobby Hebert.
Bobby fucking Hebert. So here we go. The Bears game is over. The Bears have won. They're in the locker room, presumably. And all they have to do is watch the remaining portion of the game. And get this. This would have been great. Had the Falcons lost this game, the Bears would have gone to Lambeau for the wild card. And again, I already just talked about week two. They come all the way back, should have won. Kramer got stripped, Reggie White. And then later that year at Lambeau, they lost 35-28. So it's not like they were being blown out. They could compete. And maybe they go up there and win. Maybe. But what happened in the Falcon 49er game, Bobby Hebert has to lead them like 85 yards.
A drive on which they would face a do-or-die fourth down.
Yeah! It's very simple. 2:19 to go. Down by five.
Got time to score!
Fourth and five for Atlanta. This is it. The season down to this. Hebert throwing right side.
Complete to Metcalf at the 40. Cuts to the middle and down to the 38-yard line of the 49ers.
Well, keep the...
There comes a time when the long hours of preparation and sacrifice, if they are worth it, must assume the form of victory.
Hebert rolls left, steps right into the pocket, is still holding it, now rolls out of the pocket, now throwing it. Has a man, Terrence Mathis at the 10. Terrence Mathis sprinting for the corner at the 5. Wow. The Falcons take the lead. And everybody who's at this dome today is on their feet witnessing the miracle of Christmas Eve.
Like five 49ers are going to fly off of him. He's going to go the distance and score and tear my fucking heart out. The Bears don't make the playoffs because of that shit. And keep in mind, the Bears start 96 out beating the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. But Kramer would break his neck in Detroit in week four, and we let Jeff Graham leave and go to the Jets. And because you thought we brought in Brian Cox, a linebacker. Things are looking up. This is going to be a team, and then we disappointed again. But, yes, Phil, I will say I digress off that point. Let's go, instead of doing this dry, then let's add a little flavor to it and go with some highlight music. Man. Number five, Bears-Packers. Games that made me fucking cringe. Games that hurt my feelings. Games that I don't even want to talk about. Where do we start? 1997. 1990 fucking seven. The Bears are winless. Absolutely no wins whatsoever. They opened up that season in Green Bay. Raymond Harris scored. We ran it, had a lead, some weird score like 11-3, and then we won't score again. They're going to come back and win. We have the Vikings beaten, I think, in week two. And Brad Johnson throws a touchdown with under a minute to go to that fucking white piece of shit receiver named Chris Walsh, who always played special teams. But his one career touchdown was against the Bears in week number two. And thus, again, we are beaten in 0-2. So, it's October. I think the Bears are 0-6. Here come the defending Super Bowl champion, Green Bay Packers, into Soldier Field. The Bears have a lead at the half. But as fate would have it, Favre, of course, would bring them back. Late fourth quarter, the Bears are down like they always were. I'm sorry, I got a text message there. The Bears were down, but they're going to drive down the field. They're going to drive down the field, and they're going to fucking score. The Bears are going to score. It was Chris Penn. Chris Penn would score, I think, a couple touchdowns that day, and that made the score 24-23. What could happen? The Bears, I think, are 0-6, and they're going to go for two. They're going to go for two, which what we should have done against the Giants last season. They're going to go for two. Even if they do get it, the Packers would have still had like a minute and a half left. But, okay, they're going to go for two, trailing by one at home. They tell Jaeger to leave the field. And then they call the worst. I don't know what happened. They call a little flare pass to the flat to Raymond Harris. And there's like four Packers around him. So even if he catches it, there's nowhere to go. Nowhere. Incomplete pass. We lose 24-23. That one hurt. Again, you're 0-6, but you think we're going to beat the champs. Fuck them. And then we lose. But I think the next week we go and beat the Dolphins on a Monday night game. Oh, here goes the Packers sticking it to me again. Listen to this story. So game seven of the World Series 1997 is the Indians and the Florida Marlins. But because of that, they have to play the game on Sunday. It's in Miami, right, where the Marlins play. Well, I guess back then they're the Florida Marlins. I guess they're the Miami Marlins now. So the Bears are supposed to be playing the Dolphins. I think it was Pro Player Stadium back then. It's the former Joe Robbie Stadium. And so they have to move the Bears game to Monday. I think, oh, that's awesome, because I didn't have Sunday ticket that year. I was in, I don't know, 11th grade. Yeah, 97, 98, I've been in 11th grade. So I think, oh, man, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get this game because, look, I had two ABC affiliates on local cable, and I had two on a satellite dish. Back then we had PrimeStar as a kid. So that's why we didn't have Sunday ticket. I don't know why they brought PrimeStar. Why didn't they get DirecTV then? My mom. But okay. But there were two affiliates. One was in, like, New York, and the other one was San Francisco, I think. Maybe Boston and San Francisco. I don't know. Point is, I had four different ABC affiliates and the chance to show this Bears-Dolphins game. On all four of them, I got the Packers and the Patriots. All four of them. So I didn't get to watch the Bear game live that night. I bought it off eBay a couple years later just to see it, because the Bears were down 18 points in the fourth quarter. Kramer led two drives. They ended up winning in overtime with Jeff Jaeger. It was great to be 0-7 and win that game. I think I cried when just watching the highlights, and we finally won. It's not a joke. I mean, okay. So the 97 game blew a lot of fucking ass. It hurt my feelings real bad. Where do we go from here? Number four. I'm debating on which one I should put at number four. Bear with me just a second. You know, I'll go with last year. Last year, opening night, everyone knows this story. But if I'm going to include a top five, I mean, it's probably in it. The Bears have a 20-0 lead. Khalil Mack's first game. Interception. Sacks. Touchdown. The Bears lead 20-0. Rodgers is hurt. And then that thing happened. Where you can, momentum is so fickle. But when you're watching these games, you just know that it's like the team that loses has to make 37 mistakes. And yet they keep making them. And anybody else watching the game can be like, no, don't do that. Hey, Vic, no. Don't play back. Don't play back. Blitz. Don't play. You're playing soft. Like the Buffalo-Houston game in 92, you can sit there and watch it and feel, you know, that Buffalo is coming back to win the game. You can feel it. The Alex Smith Chiefs game against the Colts, was that 2012 or 13 in the RCA Dome? I think they were still in the RCA Dome. Whatever, maybe Lucas. No, it was Lucas Oil, because the Bears beat them on opening night up there in 08 to open the stadium. That was a good one, but, you know, they beat us in the Super Bowl, so fuck them. It was Forte's first game, but okay. Your point is you could feel the comeback happening, and you could in that game as well for Bears-Packers. Rodgers comes back in the game because Kaiser's in and not doing shit, and then suddenly the Bears forget to tackle, which is just maddening. How many times can Randall Cobb beat us in the last minute? 48 yards, that's a touchdown. It's almost like the Albert Wilson plays against the Dolphins last year where the entire secondary forgets how to tackle. But maybe it's because they didn't play in the preseason. And you got to have live action to get into some fluidity. I don't know what the reason, but the Packers, of course, come back. The Bears can't stop them. We know it's going to happen. And then still, there's a chance to pull it out, and Kyle Fuller drops the interception. Ah, ha, ha, there's the story. The Packers signed him to an offer sheet. We matched it. And then, you know, they get the last laugh. Okay. Even so, was it 3rd and 1? Hand the ball to Jordan Howard. I know he didn't have a good year, but fuck. We didn't. Then we got a reprieve. They called a roughing the passer on Clay Matthews. And we still were unable to come back and win the game. Once more, a game you could feel slipping away as it's happening. Like Collinsworth, everybody loved it. Oh, this will set the Bears. Al, you know, this will set the Bears. That's a terrible Chris Collinsworth. But this will set the Bears back 100 years. Like, you smug asshole. Fuck you. It didn't, did it? Division champs. But that one sucked, too. But my top three worst Bears-Packers losses. I will go to 1994, Halloween night, my birthday. Not, this isn't that bad because it's my birthday, but, I mean, that added to it. Bears-Packers, Monday Night Football, Halloween 1994. Of course it rained, and every time it rains, the Bears lose. See Super Bowl 41. Monsoon! What am I... Let me change this song. Hang on.
Jesus.
That wasn't doing it for me. This actually sounds a little bit too optimistic, you know? I think a friend trying to score against the Raiders in Super Bowl 11. 1994. Let me change this too. Hold on. Sorry, this is on the cuff, so to speak. But as I'm waiting for my music bed to load, once more, I will say October 31st, 1994, Halloween night, the Bears are going to retire the jerseys of Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus. It's raining like a motherfucker the whole game. I've heard Tom Waddle say it was the coldest he's ever been because the rain never stopped. It never subsided, and it's just pounding them. And the Packers would pound the Bears that day. Edgar Bennett, who the Bears would sign in like 1998, to my chagrin, was running all over the fucking Bears. He probably had 150 yards that night. Brett Favre was running out, breaking out of the pocket, breaking contain, diving for scores. Kramer was like, I don't know, 5 of 10 in the first half for a pick, maybe 2. So they bench him. Which, a move I still didn't agree with, because Kramer could throw. It's like the 94 game, the playoffs against San Francisco. Remember, we lost 44-15. They started Walsh in that game. And you just really don't have a chance to throw deep at all if you're behind with Walsh at quarterback. But they bring Walsh in that game, and I think he threw a touchdown. I'm going to say Jeff Graham caught it. That was our score, our one score. But the Packers won like 33-6, 34-6. And again, it was ugly. They just ran all over us. Mongo's a Packer that night. What the fuck? Why? The Packers actually beat the Bears on my 13th birthday and 14th birthday. There's another shitty game, the 13th one, the year before, which I think was 17-3. Jim Harbaugh started that one. All right, getting down to the end of this. I almost think, should I go ahead and do a positive one? Should I finish it with like the top five wins, maybe? Maybe I will. I don't know. It's 1:11 a.m., so. Number two, and these last two I think are obvious. And I try not to just pull up modern games or, you know, ones in the last couple years, but I will say number two. Oh, my God. It hurt almost as much, if not more, as number one. I will declare number two being 2013, week 17, Green Bay at Chicago. It's simple. The Bears had two games to go, were 8-6. All they had to do was win a game. And the reason why this happened is because the Lions lost a game at home to the Giants. And when that happened, that was a 4 o'clock game that ended at like 7:30 Eastern time. And you're like, holy shit. Now if the Bears beat the Eagles, they're going to win the division. This was Trestman's first season as coach. And what proceeded to happen was indescribable. It was like 51-7. I think Hester fumbled the opening kickoff. So, like, as soon as it started, it was like that 49er Broncos Super Bowl 24, the 55-10 game. Or it just like as soon as it started, the fucking beatdown just commenced. And there it was. Since we lost the Eagles, we had to win one more, and here comes Green Bay. Not only here comes Green Bay, here comes Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers had been hurt, and the only positive thing that Shea McClellan ever did as a Bear, he broke his collarbone. He gets the clavicle broken. He misses like 6 or 7 games. So the motherfucker hasn't played in months. 2 months. But he's back. Of course he is. Fucking, I don't mean any disrespect to actual cocksuckers, but Rodgers is a fucking cocksucker. Ask that Kevin guy. But anyway, I have no problem with people that actually do that. I'm just saying, fuck you, Aaron Rodgers. He comes there. The Bears, it looks good. It looks so fucking... Well, let me bitch about something else. Early on in the game, Cutler throws like a 67-yard bomb down the field to Alshon Jeffrey, whom I hate. But Jeffrey is going to go all the way to the end zone. And inexplicably, the refs are going to mark him down. He's not touched. It's bullshit, but the Bears score on that anyway. But it shouldn't even come down to that. First play of the fourth quarter, Cutler throws a pass that I think was one of those, it was supposed to be a run, and he just didn't hand it to Forte and just threw it up, and Brandon Marshall twisted and caught it in the back of the end zone. Phenomenal play. And at that juncture, the Bears led 28-20. Fourth quarter, the Bears are up 8. Shane Marceau always talks about how he's broken numerous DirecTV controllers, remote controllers. This was the only night that I've broken one of mine. It's 28-20. The Packers come back, and I think it's 28-27. Last drive. It's almost like the Eagle game last season. You just need to stop. You just need a defensive stop. Just need to stop, and we're going to the next round. This case, all we got to do is get one stop, and we go to the playoffs. I guess we'd have probably hosted San Francisco off the top of my head. Yes, I said it, Shane. fourth down, a couple fourth downs. Couple fourth downs, of course, he's going to get them. And then it comes down, it's like fourth and 14. Late, under a minute to go. Rodgers is going to roll left, I think it was left. And Julius Peppers allows him to break contain and get outside the pocket. You have one job. If you're not going to sack him, don't let him get outside of you. Peppers, whom was always a disappointment with the Bears, in my opinion, allows Rodgers to get outside. And what happens? Chris fucking Conte happens. And oh God, there's Randall Cobb again. And I'm glad that motherfucker is in Dallas. And I hope when he comes to Soldier Field in week 14 this year that he leaves on a fucking stretcher. I hate you, Randall Cobb. Yeah, that can be a drop. Fuck him. Hate that guy almost as much as Rodgers. And I never thought it was possible that I would hate another Packer more than Brett Favre. And then becomes Rodgers. He throws the touchdown, under a minute to go. Cobb, touchdown, 33-28. Packers win. Thankfully, Kaepernick, I don't want to alienate anybody. I'm not talking politics. I'm just saying Kaepernick would go to Lambeau and beat them next week in the wild card round. And yes, I was cheering for him because I hate the Packers. But it's, again, a play that shouldn't have happened. Chris Conte shouldn't have happened. Julius Peppers. The Bears go home. Everybody knows what the next game is. The number one most disappointing game in my lifetime, other than the Super Bowl. Oh, man, I don't know. That 88 championship game still sticks out with me. For 30 years, I've watched it and like hoped for a different outcome. But the 1988 NFC Championship game, Super Bowl 41, the Bears-Packers in 13, and then the Bears-Packers 2010. The most disappointing games of my lifetime, without question. So, NFC Championship, it's in Chicago. And I keep thinking, all right, so the sun's going to be out. Well, that 88 game, we had cold, bare weather. It didn't matter. Montana threw for 400. The Redskin game with Doug Williams in 87, freezing ass fucking cold, like 10 degrees. The Redskins win, come back from 14 down. So maybe it's a good thing we don't have bare weather. Oh, this is from the Bears. Super Bowl 20 highlights with Jim McMahon, a new wave quarterback. Bears-Packers 2010 NFC Championship game, winner to the Super Bowl. I still have the Sports Illustrated framed in my room, in my house, of Cutler. It's snowing from the Seattle game the week before. Kreutz is on the cover with him, too. And maybe Garza. And it says, bring on the Packers. And you think, as a Bear fan with Green Bay, I'm never overconfident. Never. In fact, I was arguing with Shane and Phil in the spring this year when all that shit happened with Rodgers. Oh, he doesn't drink beer like a real man. I was like, what the fuck, man? I disagreed with them, and I disagree with Shane on Trey Burton. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm being the meatball. Maybe I am the meatball. But it seems like the guy doesn't have a lot of heart. He's having bad dreams at night. His nightlight's not working, and he hurts his groin somehow, misses the playoff game, and now he's missing Thursday. Cause, you know, think about this. And I know I'm sub-referencing a lot. What worries does Trey Burton have? I don't want to make this about me, but considering it's about my life, my head, I'm thinking, that's where McMahon got flipped in the Super Bowl. But I'm thinking, man, I could have lost my fucking house in this divorce. For a year and a half, I was worried about losing my house, my pets, going bankrupt. Those are real concerns. I mean, and things that Trey Burton doesn't have to worry about. I know money's not everything, but even if somehow it's, you know, God forbid, so to speak, his, he would lose everything he owned in a house fire or something horrible, he could just buy everything again. He wouldn't have to worry about that at all. He doesn't have to worry about losing his house. Money's not an issue. Healthcare's not an issue. Healthcare, like, I mean, I guess if you could be wealthy and have poor health and they can't, you know, but still, you're going to get the best health coverage possible. And good for him, man. He's an athlete. I'm not saying he doesn't earn these privileges. Didn't I just play that one? I think so. I'm just saying, what has he really got to be so... Where's his fucking anxiety extrapolating from? Oh, God, I used to be an Eagle, and I was so worried about playing them in the prime time in the wild card that I got scared, and I couldn't go. I mean, come on. Okay. I don't want to mock anxiety, because that's a real thing. Where's Trey busy when I need him? Hell, I've got, that's what I'm saying. I had anxiety for 2 years over this. Anxiety over thinking I lost, my woman, my wife, right? So I feel like if I can over, I still went to work. I was depressed as shit and worried and completely stressed at all times, but I went to work. Trey misses the playoff game because he's so worried that he hurts his balls. Okay, Shane's right. It's a real injury. He had surgery. I get it. And he's had this entire offseason to get ready for Thursday. He's been babied, missing practices, doing walkthroughs, and guess what? He's fucking hurt again. A mysterious ailment just appeared out of nowhere. I'm sorry. Trey Burton... I root for him because he's a Bear. I digress. 2010 NFC Championship game. Bring on the Packers. I can bring my wife up, ex-wife on this one too. The day we got together, the day, and this should have been a sign we're not going to make it. We're not going to be a couple. This forever shit is just exactly what that said. Shit. Our first day as a couple was January the 23rd, 2011. Not that you need to know about, like, when shit started, per se, because I was fucking her in, like, November. But anyway, point is, January 23rd, 2011, something else happened. The Bears-Packers game happened that day. So that's the day I get with her, and the Bears are going to lose. And then the rest of the relationship, 2011... 12, you remember Cutler? 7-3. Breaks his thumb. Breaks his fucking thumb against San Diego. And then Caleb Haney, who actually plays good in the title game, suddenly falls on his fucking face. Donovan McNabb wants to play for his hometown team, is available. We're like, no, we're going to stay with Caleb Haney. Finally, we get one more game with Josh McCown and finish 8-8. We go from 7-3 to 8-8. If the Bears had just won one more game, they make the playoffs that year, and Cutler would have been able to play in the first playoff game. But that didn't happen now, did it? Because we go from 7-3 to 8-8, and what else happened then? Everybody loves Urlacher but me, right? Urlacher gets hit, I think, by Major Wright. Fucking Major Bust hits him in the knee in the Metrodome. The last game of the season essentially ends Urlacher's career. He misses all of training camp the next year, comes back, plays week one. He gets hurt in that Seattle game. We never see him again. He never plays another down. So 2011 ends a team that could have gone to the Super Bowl. 7-3, winners of 5 straight. And that doesn't happen. What happens in 2012? Fucking Green Bay again is what happens in 2012. The Bears in week 17 have to win at Ford Field against Detroit. This is like 1995 all over again. All we have to do is beat Detroit and have Green Bay beat Minnesota. Green Bay was a much better team than Minnesota. Minnesota was led by a chump named Christian Ponder. Ponder that. Intentional, horrible pun. How the Vikings could hang with Green Bay. Green Bay loses because we need them to win. The fucking goddamn Vikings win. Knocks us out of the playoffs. And guess what happened? This is from Super Bowl 20's highlight, too. The Patriots seeing the blitz coming and unable to stop it. The horror in their faces of Steve Grogan and Tony Eason and their dicks knocked on the fucking dirt. Well, there is no dirt. Superdome. Okay. I don't know. A lot of bad things happen in the Superdome. Sea Hurricane, Katrina, rape. But let's get back to what I'm saying. Bears, Packers. I get with my wife January 23rd of 11. We lose the title game. 11, the season just dissipates before our eyes. 2012, the Packers need to beat Minnesota in week 17. They don't. And guess what happens? Next week, they play Minnesota. And they really try this time and beat them like 44 to fucking 3, which is what should have happened in week 17. But it didn't. And the Bears went home. Think of Cutler's legacy. If they can somehow get this Super Bowl, or even he comes back and wins a playoff game in 11 or 12, they make the playoffs, but Green Bay, you know, lets Minnesota beat them. And that's what happened. They fucking laid down. We already went through 2013, the Randall Cobb play. And by that time, we got Jay's offensive coordinator, like, backstabbing him. And the worst defense in team history under Mel Fucker. And then, I know that's not funny. That's lame. I got it. And then John Fox. Oh, God. So, point is, again, I get my wife. NFC Championship, we lose. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. No playoffs. Harass leaves on Christmas Eve of 17. The first season she's gone is 2018. What happens? The fucking Bears make the playoffs. We can blame Marissa for all this shit. That's what I'm trying to say. But what happens the day we get together? Cutler has the worst first half he could have possibly had. He's like 6 of 14, 6 of 15, under 100 yards. A couple picks, I think. And then the third quarter. Oh, let's rewind. The Bears are led by their defense, right? And everybody wants to... The thing is, because of the 1990 Giants and Bill Belichick, of course, Parcells is the head coach then, but they go on this like 80-yard drive to end the first half and receive the second half kickoff and go like 80 yards again, score two touchdowns, couple that with the long halftime, the Bills are off the field for an hour. That gave birth to the philosophy that we have today. We heard Greg Braggs talking about it the other day on 100 Proof. The thing is, you always want to defer and hope to score late in the first half and then get the ball early second half. That started with the Belichick and the Giants there and Parcells. And obviously, he sort of trademarked that with New England as head coach. But on this day, so the Packers get the ball first. Well, let's play defense. That's our strength. What happens? The same shit that always happened with that cover two. Maybe it wouldn't have if Urlacher was earlier in his career. What happened was Rodgers would always slant them to death. They couldn't stop a fucking slant pass. But he would always throw the ball in between the safety and over Urlacher's head. There was always a gap behind the linebacker in front of the safety and the slant. So they just go down the field. They could have told us the plays. Yeah, here comes a slant. It's going to be Nelson. He's going to slant. We can't stop it. Maddening how that could never, ever be negated. They go straight down the field. It's 7-0 Packers. Our strength is our defense, right? Everybody jacks off the defense. I think the Packers would be up 14-0 after Cutler tries to play. Tries to fucking play. And can't throw on his leg. Olin Krut said the dude's leg was shaking. Was throbbing in the huddle. Involuntary shaking. He can't stand. He gives it a go in the second half. He cannot put any pressure on it. So he says, fuck, guys. I'm a sitting duck back here. I can't throw the ball. Well, Todd Collins is on the team for a reason. Let's put his sorry ass in and see what he can do. Nothing. Nothing at all. So they said, fuck it. It's the fourth quarter now. Let's try this Caleb Haney guy. He did okay in the preseason this year. And suddenly, didn't Earl score on a... Is it Earl Bennett? Anyway, it's 21-7. And B.J. Raji, who was 495 pounds, I think. And look, I'm a big dude myself. I'm just saying, B.J. Raji was huge. And this motherfucker picks Haney off and goes into the end zone. And they go up 21-7. I think the Bears came back and scored again. And they were down 21-14. Had the ball. And Martz called for an end around on third down. The Packers stopped it. Stopped it on fourth down. That was it. 21-14. So they come into Soldier Field. And they win again. And go to the Super Bowl. Now, Phil and Shane, or mainly Shane, look, I love these two guys, so I don't mean to like talk about them when they're not here or try to seem superior to them in any way. But I know they can break down tape and shit better than me, and I'll never take that away from them. But I do think statistics matter. Precedent does matter. I know it's different players. But the last time the Bears won two in a row against the Packers in Chicago, do you remember? 2007, Kyle Orton plays Brett Favre in the freezing-ass cold again. Wendy, Favre didn't want to be there at all. Then in 08, Kyle Orton, why? God, I hate giving him any credit. Mr. Screen Pass. But they went on Monday Night Football. Alex Brown, I think, had a blocked field goal to win. Wasn't Alex Brown? It's the last two times the Bears won back-to-back games at home against Green Bay. They almost shit away the game last year that Phil went to in 15, but they didn't. I love it. I love it. I've already made Phil a copy of it. I'm going to send him some games later this week. Just show me, man. That's what I'm saying. I agree with Greg Braggs on this, man. This guy has beaten us so many times. So many fucking times. That until we win, I understand. I see polls and like 60% of people. I logged into my Amazon account. And if they were having you vote there, Bears, Packers. So of course I picked the Bears. I don't, you know. I'm never, even if I think we're going to lose, I'm never going to say the Bears are going to lose. Never. I feel like that's a bad, like, well, they lost because you fucking said they were going to lose. Which is stupid and childish and superstitious, but that's the way I feel. So I picked the Bears, and like 63% of America, according to Amazon, thinks Green Bay is going to win. And why shouldn't they? You say, oh, well, the Bears got the better team. The Bears have had the better team a lot of different times. Not necessarily in recent years. But let me change the bed here. I think, sorry this wasn't smoother on the transition. I do think there are a lot of times over the last decade the Bears maybe did have a better team. But Green Bay had Aaron Rodgers. And that mitigates a lot of their problems that they've had. And that's not some profound message. A lot of people would say that. But I want to see the Bears win. And I hear like Phil and them saying the Bears are going to win like by 35. Why? Because our quarterback can chug a beer and theirs can't. It's insanity. Who cares if the guy's how much cock he sucked, how much beer he can't drink? The guy always beats us. He's the bully. And it's time to take the fucking bully down. We got to see it. Got to see it. I hear how great Khalil Mack is, and I don't disagree with it. And I know he had the game of games in the first half last year, but he was also on the field during that comeback. Now, granted, he's in pass coverage for some reason, and I don't think Chuck will do that. He said he wasn't going to. I worry about this. Think about this, too. Let's say the Bears hypothetically were to be beaten Thursday. Then you go play Vic on the road in Denver. Everyone's talked about the stat. Denver hasn't lost at home in September and since like Red Miller was coach during the Carter administration. Obviously, I'm being facetious. But they're good at home, especially in September. Let's say that you drop it somehow. Then you're 0-2. Then you go to play Washington. The Redskins always fucking beat us. In recent times, the Bears beat the Redskins in 0-3 with Rex. 0-1 on the play Urlacher scored a touchdown on. A fake field goal, wasn't it? Was it Brad Maynard that threw a touchdown to him? The Bears are wearing white on white that day. I love it. We won an 0-1 and we won an 0-3. Beyond that, we lost in 0-4. We lost opening day in 0-5, the Kyle Orton game, 9-7, I think. We lost in 0-7 when they cheap-shotted Rex on a Thursday night. We lost the Robbie Gould game with the missed field goal. We lost the next year, and Kirk Cousins is earning his $84 million contract, showing how good he can be because the Bears were shitty. He can beat the shitty teams. I mean, and go to the 90s. My 19th birthday, 99, the Bears go to Washington, lose like 50-24. They beat us in 97. The game Conway throws his helmet because of a bullshit non-call on pass interference. They beat us in 96, week two. Beat us 91, the year they won the Super Bowl. They beat us in 90. They beat us in 89. They beat us in the playoffs in 86 and 87, although the Bears won in 88. You get the point. This team, regardless of who's coaching, who's playing, they always beat us. Let's say that trend would continue. It seems inconceivable. The Bears, on paper, have a much better team than Washington, but then you're 0-3. And you come home to play the Vikings. Anything can happen in a rivalry game. Could you go 0-4? I mean, I'm not saying any of this is going to happen. But like Wani's last 2 years, again, the Bears are a better team now on paper. But Wani's last 2 years, they had all these close games. The first couple, like, they lose by two, lose by one. And that shit would snowball. And then they'd lose like six or seven in a row. Look what happened in 2011 when Jay got hurt. I'm not saying Midge is going to get hurt. God damn it. But they really need to win Thursday to capture some momentum, to build fluidity, to get 2019 going in the right direction. I guess I need to wrap this shit up and go home. I don't even know where I'm going with it. I'm just rambling aimlessly now. But let's think. Close it out on a good note. Good Bears, Packers victories. They're not a lot of them. I mentioned the Favre game in the wind in 07. That was fun. Love that, seeing him. 05 was fun because he hadn't lost in Chicago. Oh, my God. Since 1993, Wani beat him in 93 with Harbaugh, and then Favre wins in 94. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 2000, 2000 fucking one. The Bears are 13-3, two of those losses to Favre. 2002, Oh my God, we had him beat Jim fucking Miller. Mr. Arrogant Jim Miller fumbles from the half yard line. All he's got to do is go forward, quarterback sneak. But no, Jim Miller, he would have criticized Cutler for fucking 2 weeks doing the stupidity that he did up in Lambeau, and they lose. But anyway, they lost at home in 02. They lost at home to them on 03, the night Soldier Field reopened. They lost in 04. 05, finally they beat Favre in Chicago. And he had blood on his uniform. That was fun. Man, that might be in the top five. I'll go ahead and call it. That's number five. If you go back and watch any older games, 1987 in Lambeau is fun. McMahon leads early in the game. He throws a touchdown to Neil Anderson to start it. We're up 7-0 the first play. But at the end of the game, he has to lead a big drive. He does, and Kevin Butler, who missed so many field goals for the Bears, and nobody acknowledges, actually made a 52-yarder to beat them. That's worth mentioning. I don't know if it's in my top five. God damn it, that's good. I'm running out of time here. I will say this. Another game it's worth mentioning. 1983. Bart Starr's last game as coach. It's cold, man. It is frigid. Below zero. Old turf at Soldier Field. The Packers win. They're in the playoffs. McMahon leads a drive down. They win. Knocks Green Bay out of the playoffs, and they fire Bart Starr over. That's fun, too. But let me think. Bears wins. I'm going to go, like I said, that 05 game, man. That was so much fun. Last season, I'll say 2018, when they beat Rodgers for the division. Oh, man, that might need to be higher than four. I'm going to say, I'll just call that at four. No. That's number two. That's number two. We'll come back to that. Five, I'm going to say, is that 05 game. Four, you know what? I'm going to go with Urlacher's first one as a Bear. In 2000, the Bears go up to Lambeau Field, and Cade McNown zinging some shit, man, to Marcus Robinson. The Bears had a big lead, like 24-3. And they held on their dear lives, like, the very end, I think Philip Daniels sacked Favre, and we won like 27-24. Urlacher's first win ever in the pros. I'll put that at number four. Let me think. What would make that number three then? What would be number three? I'll go with Wani's game in 93. That was fun. The Bears won. It was near the end of the year. It was in December. And that hurt Green Bay at the time. They ended up being a wild card team as a result of losing. But they ended up winning in Detroit. Favre hit Shannon Sharp for a score with under a minute to go. And the good thing for the Bears at the time was that was Eric Kramer's last game as a Lion. Wani then scooped him up and was like, well, you saw what he did to us in 91. And he beat us this year with the Lions. And won the division and did well enough to win that game against Green Bay. So let's sign him. And I love Kramer, man. I hope he's healthy. The charges are dropped on him. He's not going, or I don't know if that's the official thing. He's not going to jail. I think he's got some probation thing going on. And he survived that suicide attempt. His wife left him. His fucking kid OD'd. The dude needs to know people, even if we're just peripheral fans and aren't real people. We care about it. I wish they could get him on Bears Barroom. Loved Eric Kramer. He went through all those tough times, man. Deserved better. So I'm going to say the 93 game, though. Harbaugh beating Favre in Chicago. I like that, too. Number two, I'll go with 2018. Winning the division against Rodgers. The Mac sacking him from behind. And there's that classic photo of Rodgers with that grit on his face. He's in pain. Man, that was fun. I'm going to say my number one Bears-Packer win, my favorite one, was Brian Robinson. Walter had died. I don't know if anybody that's not a Bears fan can understand this. I never met Walter Payton. And I only saw Walter play when he was old. So I didn't get to see when he's carrying the whole team and was carrying the team for basically a decade. I got to see him at the very end. But yet, it's strange, man. Yet I could cry. I did cry. I cried in that press conference when he was with Jared Payton and he was telling us that he was sick. And then they had the ceremony from Soldier Field the day before that game. And Dan Hampton said, you know, I think it was his daughter, that when he tells her stories about the Bears, he's going to start with Walter Payton. Oh, God damn, I cried. I never met the guy, but I felt like I knew him. And I know that sounds insane to somebody that's a fan of another team, because, like, if you're a Jaguar fan, like, are you going to cry if Mark Brunell dies? I'm not trying to shit on Mark Brunell, even as a former Packer. I'm just saying, I don't know if other teams have the passion that, yeah, I'm going to say it. I don't think other fan bases have that passion like the Bears do. So I cry when Walter died. And it was ridiculous when Brian Robinson said that Walter picked him up to block the field goal. Because remember, Chris Bonial had missed a field goal, and we were only up one. And who was the Packers kicker? Ryan Longwell, I guess? Goes to kick it, and it's really short, too. It's like 19 yards or whatever, and he blocks it, and we win. And Brian Robinson has since passed away, too. So it's too bad, man. But I'll go with that as my number one Bears-Packer win. There have not been too many of them in this era, that's for sure. But hopefully there will be Thursday night, and we'll get things off in the right direction. Because, yeah, I didn't really like the preseason, man. The game against the Giants particularly was disheartening to me. If you're out there playing for your livelihood and your jobs, there should be some fire, some passion. I know that the starters aren't playing, so it's like, calm down, chill down, Dan. But there should be some more effort, you know? It shouldn't look so damn flat. And that worries me, because I'm like, they always say that the teams all sort of take the attitude and disposition of the coach. And maybe Nagy just doesn't care about the preseason, and that seemed to impact his team a little bit. I mean, there were a couple plays in the Colt game, but I mean, let's be honest. Anyone that was watching it, Andrew Luck was the story. That superseded everything. Then the last game, yeah, there were some plays. That's the best one of the four. I'm just saying, man, you saw what happened in opening night last season. Maybe the team is gassed because they didn't play in the preseason. Maybe they can't tackle well because they didn't play in the preseason. I don't know. But they have to win, and I'm not trying to steal Shane's thought. He said that, you know, and I concur. The Bears have to win this game to get the season started. It's so important. What are we down now? Two games on the career, on the record? I mean, not that that really matters, but for years, the Bears had like a 20-game lead. Our owner's 96, 100th season. If not now, when? We have the better team on paper. I feel like I should be 96 too, is how many losses I've seen. And who knows, my dad died at 41, my sister died at 41. This could be my last chance too. I'm not trying to be dour, but it happens, man. Everyone's not as fortunate as Virginia McCaskey. So this could be it for all of us. You never know. Can we find a way? Rodgers loves to come to Chicago and win. He's going to do his goddamn discount double check if he scores. Does he still do that? I think he does. He relishes the moment to beat us. In these type of games. I only hope that, obviously I hope that the Bears win. I hope it doesn't come down to Eddie kicking, unless he makes it. But if we would lose with a missed field goal, I don't think you can keep the kid. And I really want him to play well. I want him to be the kicker. I want him to succeed and to overcome all that adversity that since the trade with the Raiders. Likewise, I want Mitch to be able to basically tell the media and everybody to suck his fucking dick when they're saying there are backups in the league that are better than he is. Which, again, everybody that knows, to steal this from Phil, the tape doesn't lie. He's played well enough to deserve recognition, but gets none. Can the defense live up to the hype? Can the offense respond and grow in year two? We're all going to find out Thursday night. And I think if we're going to go where we want to go, and I'm afraid of Miami, I said that on the last one. Bad things happen in that stadium. 85, only loss in Miami. 88, they're going to the Super Bowl, right? It's in Miami. Get beaten by San Francisco. Super Bowl 41 was in Miami. I fucking hate that stadium. Of course, 85 was at the Orange Bowl, but just play along, man. It's almost 2 a.m. If we want to get to Super Bowl 54 and hopefully win it this time, it all starts Thursday night. Bear down, go Bears. Thank you for listening. Bears Barroom.